Sitting on a warm, grassy hillside listening to classical music seems a very long time away on this winter day, and it is, in fact, about half a year away at the Brit Festivals in Jacksonville. But this is a big classical season at Brit. It's first with a new permanent music director. Teddy Abrams landed the job after last year's classical festival featured three tryout weekends by music director candidates. And just last night, he was in town to announce the musical pieces and guest performers for the 2014 season. He joins us in the studio now to essentially recreate that moment, but answer a few more questions as well. Teddy, good to see you.
Great to be here.
We should point out for folks who can't tell by the radio that you are 26 years old, so been in the music business actually for quite some time now.
That's true, yeah. I have been involved in music one way or another since I was about three, but not professionally. In fact, it took a little while for me to decide that I wanted to do this as a career, as a vocation, and that was, I guess, when I was nine.
You waited a long time.
I waited, yeah, 6 years. But it was a distinct moment, and I've said it many times, but I like to, especially when I'm here at Brit, repeat that story, which is a simple one. But I went to my first outdoor symphony concert. It was the very first time I'd ever seen a live symphony orchestra when I was 9 years old. It was a free concert in San Francisco by the San Francisco Symphony. And the experience was so magical and so life-changing that it was that very day I decided I wanted to become a conductor. And of course, the connection between seeing an outdoor symphony playing in a setting like that, a beautiful setting there, and the Brit Festival has not been lost on me. And so I know the significance and the potential of what we're doing here.
Well, you're not only the music director and therefore the conductor of the concerts at the Brit Festivals, but you're either a conductor or a musical director or assistant musical director, associate musical director. There's always music director something in there with several different orchestras. So where are you actually employed in addition to the Brit Festivals right now?
Well, right now is kind of a confluence of many jobs. So I'm employed many different places, which is a little bit crazy at this particular moment. Things are going to start to even out. But at this time, I'm the assistant conductor of the Detroit Symphony. And that's a position that I've had for the last year and a half or so, and I will be finishing at the end of the season because immediately after the first season of Brit, I begin my new job, which is music director of the Louisville Orchestra. So I'll be moving to Louisville for the season, and so that my two primary conducting responsibilities will be here at Brit and then in Louisville, in addition to any guest conducting that I might do, and work that I do as a performing instrumentalist, which is separate.
And you are a pianist and a clarinetist.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
So always busy. And can I always assume there's picture ID and probably a packed suitcase never very far from your reach?
That's true. Yeah. You're kind of all over the place. But part of it is that I have to balance this out now because as a music director, you're expected to make real commitments to your communities. And I think that a music director role means that you have to be a member of the community. It's not enough just to show up and conduct. Even for a summer festival that's really only 3 weeks of performances, that means you're making a larger commitment to the area. And so I need to be around. I need to be somebody that people, our audiences, feel comfortable just coming up and talking to. I need to be a figure here because any music director job is a leadership role. And so that means also in Louisville, I won't be there only when I conduct. I'll be there throughout the entire year. And that's a very important part of it because you're a musical leader.
So as a musical leader, how does the process work in choosing the musical pieces for a season? Is that just you? Is it you with input from people on the board? I mean, how does that all work?
Well, that's a great question, and it's one of those behind-the-scenes elements of the symphony orchestra that most people pretty much never know about because there are many. There are many, many, many components to the show business element of orchestras that we try and hide, actually. But the choice of programs is really it's a dialogue between different people. Obviously, the theme and the energy behind it has to come from the music director. The concept has to come from the music director. But there are so many elements of, for instance, budgetary considerations. For instance, knowing how many players you actually have available in the orchestra. And if there's a piece that requires 25 piccolos and you don't have 25 piccolos and you can't do that piece. If there's a piece by a contemporary composer that you love but the rental fee is going to be obscenely high, you can't do that either. So there have to be many people involved to make sure this is possible. But the energy behind it and the theme comes from the music director.
So let's talk about the season. And while we talk about this, we'll roll in the background a bit from Beethoven's Fifth, which will be part of that opening night on August the 1st. But the first item on the list is something you composed. Is this something you have not yet composed?
Definitely not yet, because the title right now has been listed as TBA, which might be one of the more boring titles, but it's definitely not going to be the final title. I just haven't started it yet. That's the big problem. But I will be working on that in the spring. It really is a celebration piece of Brit and Louisville also. And that's what this first program is all about. The first program is all about celebrating the orchestra, because we do have a magnificent orchestra. Brit is world class. And I hope that everybody in this community knows that, because it's a treasure. And so we're celebrating the orchestra with that piece. And then Stravinsky's Firebird, which is, of course, a complete orchestral showpiece, virtuosic in both the writing for individual instrumentalists and in the orchestration overall, and filled with incredible colors, orchestral colors. And then the Beethoven Fifth Symphony that you're hearing right now, which is kind of one of those ultimate orchestral pieces that reminds us all why we have symphony orchestras in the first place.
We chose a different move, but didn't want to go with the world's most famous stutter off the top of here.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But the point is, you do try to balance out a program with things that people do know well and things that are going to challenge their tastes just a bit.
Well, and that's one of the big themes behind the entire season, is that we are trying to give people that love Beethoven and Tchaikovsky and Brahms, we're going to make sure that we have that. That's so critical that we celebrate the great masterpieces of the past. And that past is a long one. I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of years of orchestral masterpieces that deserve to be played by our orchestra. But also, we need to make sure that we're reaching out to our broadest of communities. And that means people that have eclectic musical tastes, people that have adventurous musical tastes, and people who don't even know what their musical tastes might be when it comes to orchestras, people who might not ever come to orchestras. I want to make sure that they all have a home here at Brit. So, and at the announcement yesterday, we had a pretty wide range of folks in the audience, and they all seemed to feel like that there is something for them. So that was one of the central themes of our programming.
And on the second day, I should point out to the audience again, we're talking to Teddy Abrams, the music director at the Brit Festivals in Jacksonville, about the offerings that are coming up in the classical season starting on August 1st. On August 2nd, night number 2, you're starting with Rimsky-Korsakov's Capriccio Espanol. Tell us about this piece.
Well, Capriccio Espanol is, even though it's basically a Spanish caprice, is by a Russian composer, Rimsky-Korsakov. And Rimsky-Korsakov is one of the absolutely definitive Russian composers. He's somebody who represented the Russian sound. And one of the ways he did that is through storytelling and through kind of evocations in music. So many of his pieces actually don't deal with Russia at all, though some do. And this is one of those that actually tells an incredible story and paints pictures of Spain. But that's a distinctly Russian attribute, actually, being able to do that, just like his very famous Scheherazade, which paints pictures of Persia, for instance. And this is actually a great piece for Brit because it features many solo instruments. Rimsky was such a great orchestrator. He chose the perfect instruments to play the melodies, the harmonies, the various important elements in his music. And so this features our concertmaster, it features our principal clarinet player, it features our woodwind and brass sections in very prominent roles. So it's a great way to showcase the orchestra.
And it really is a night for Russians, it looks like, on the August the 2nd. You got Rimsky-Korsakov, followed by Prokofiev's Piano Concerto No. 3, Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 4. And then we move on to Friday the 8th of August, where you have Chang's Walking. Bela Fleck himself will be here. This is a piece he composed, The Impostor.
That's right. And this is a big deal. To get Bela Fleck is a really wonderful thing for the Brit Festival. Now, he's come many times in the pops department of the Brit Festival, but he's never played with the orchestra. And one of the things that I am all about, and something that I firmly believe in, is that styles of music from around the world all coincide. They share information. They share origins. They're different dialects of the same essential language. And in fact, American folk music or European folk music has had an intricate and very important connection to classical music from both continents. And Bela represents the very best of both worlds, in fact. He's a virtuoso folk performer. He's the complete master of the banjo. But he's also classically versed, classically trained. And he wrote this in piece. This is not an improvised piece. This is completely completely written out. And so the imposter actually refers to the fact that the banjo is not a regular instrument in the symphony orchestra setting. It refers to the fact that he's kind of there in a weird guise. But it's an incredible piece of music, and having him is extremely important for the festival and for our audiences.
I want to skip ahead just a little bit, Teddy Abrams, to Friday the 15th mm-hmm. of August, where you have Kander's Overture to Chicago, but Kurt Weill's The Seven Deadly Sins. Storm Large is coming for this. This is another kind of expanding the zone on classical music move, isn't it?
Well, it is, but actually the Weill Seven Deadly Sins is a standard piece of classical music. Kurt Weill was a composer from the 20th century who came at music with both a very defined sense of counterpoint and advanced harmony, but also loved cabaret and musicals. And he combined these pieces in his Seven Deadly Sins, which requires a vocalist who actually has, I think, cabaret chops. Storm is a favorite here. Storm sings with Pink Martini, is a famous, incredible personality. And so to have her perform this is pretty much the perfect choice. We could not have found a better person for this piece.
And then you have Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue on the same program. This is quite the American night, then, isn't it?
This is a celebration of American music from different perspectives. And who better to represent American music than Gershwin?
Tell us about the Symphony Pops with Time for Three coming up the following day, which is August 16th, a Saturday.
Well, if you've ever seen Time for Three, and they have actually been here before at Brit, you know that they are probably some of the most energetic and passionate musicians available. I've never seen people that project so much fun from the stage, but they have absolute virtuoso chops. In fact, they all went to the Curtis Institute of Music with me, and that's the kind of the epitome. That's the bastion of classical schooling, and so their chops are virtuoso. Yet their music is incredibly diverse. So whether it's a Brahms Hungarian dance or it's a piece by Mumford & Sons, they have this unique style, this unique sound, but that's rooted in mastery of their instruments. So this is going to be a great celebration of a meeting of styles, which we're seeing on a lot of the programs here.
And the classical festivals at Brit, of course, just 3 weekends. And so the final performance then will be on Sunday, the 17th of August, with Wagner's Overture to the Flying Dutchman, among other pieces. Bringing back to more conventional forms, then, it looks like, for the closing.
That's right. Well, one of the things I wanted to do is to remind us all that we're celebrating our orchestra here. We have one of the best festival orchestras I've ever encountered. So let's feature them. There isn't really a soloist on this program, but Mahler's Symphony No. 1 is basically a solo piece for orchestra. It's filled with almost cinematic-like stories and pictures and images. The piece, it actually feels like you're watching film. It's so dramatic. And it's incredibly challenging and requires a very large orchestra. So this is a big production piece, and this is one of these concerts not to miss. Of course, I think all of them are not to miss, but then again, I program them. But this is definitely one not to miss for its spectacle element, and Mahler is always a big deal. Every time you undertake a Mahler symphony, you know that you are approaching the height of the orchestral repertoire.
How much time, Teddy Abrams, do you have with the Brit Orchestra, with any orchestra for that matter, as much as you travel? So, I mean, how much will you get to rehearse with them before these pieces are put on stage?
Well, we'll rehearse throughout the week. Every single week of the Brit Festival, we're rehearsing each day. So even if we're not performing, because we only perform a couple of nights a week, we're rehearsing very intensively. And actually, the rehearsal schedule at Brit is one of the more intensive, serious rehearsal schedules of most music festivals. And it was my real pleasure to realize that people come here to work hard. They come here not only to enjoy the beautiful setting and to take advantage of this part of the world, which is so fantastic, but also to make serious music and to do it at the highest level. The musicians all really want to present really, I think, top-level performances. So that requires rehearsing. We can't just put these pieces together quickly. So we'll be out there every day and stop by. Come take a look at a rehearsal if you happen to be in Jacksonville.
He'll be right there on the stage. People will be able to hear.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. And come find me and ask me questions too. That's something I want to make sure I'm available for.
All right. So you're really diving into the season in a big way. How much time are you going to spend back in the Medford-Jacksonville area now before you're off to Louisville or Detroit or?
Well, I've got, about eight more hours or so. I'm making the most of it, though. And then I'll be back in April. So I'll be back in April for a good solid 5 days, which is almost an eon for me, which is great. I'm very excited, though. I love it here. I wish I could spend more time.
5 days feels like setting down roots, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's time to unpack the suitcase. Yeah.
All right. Teddy Abrams, always a pleasure to visit with you, the music director at the Brit Festivals in Jacksonville, talking about the season opening up on Friday night, August 1st. Thank you so much for being here.
Great to be here. Thank you so much.